Macmillan Audio presents The Wild Oats Project. One woman's midlife quest for passion at any cost. By Robin Rinaldi. Read for you by Kate Udall. Part 1. Death of the Good Girl. Sooner murder an infant in its cradle than nurse unacted desires. William Blake, The Marriage of Heaven and Hell. 1. The Threshold. It was a rare, balmy evening in San Francisco. Raindrops splattered the long windows of the second-floor bar overlooking the Castro, blurring its neon signs and the headlights below. As the city's offices emptied for the weekend, the bar filled, the DJ upped the volume, and the waiter delivered the first round of sweating margaritas. I was the only woman, and the only straight person, in the room. Chris, a friend I affectionately called my gay husband, was chatting with his buddies as I reached into my pocket, grabbed my phone, and hit Paul's name. I did it without forethought. The few sips of margarita probably helped me along, but in truth, that night was the perfect storm. It was early. My husband knew I was out with my gay friend, and I wasn't due home for hours. That Friday night in July 2007, some part of me, hidden, yet willful enough to pick up the phone, felt it had license to do whatever it wanted. While I went about my business, it was tracking, with silent precision, the changes in my marriage down to the day. "What are you up to?" I texted. "Just on my couch watching TV." "Can I come over?" Nothing for 5 minutes. In that span, I vacillated between anticipating the thrill of a yes and the relief of a no. "Yes, 2140 Jackson." The indigo characters, 2140 Jackson, threw off a crystalline charge that snaked up my arm and lit my chest from inside, as if I'd been sent the combination to a bank vault or plucked the enemy's secret code off the wires. Needing encouragement, I pulled Chris aside and showed him the text. He was aware of my recent crush on Paul. He also knew and liked my husband, Scott. But in his world, the microcosm of gay male life in San Francisco, couples who'd been together 17 years, like Scott and I had, didn't necessarily read disaster into casual flings. Many of Chris's friends indulged their attraction to others now and then, without seeming to damage their primary relationship. He looked from the phone to me. "Are you sure?" "No, I'm not sure at all," I said, my eyes darting toward the door. I slid into my raincoat. "Listen," he said, holding my elbow like a football coach instructing a rookie on the sidelines. "Go slow. You can stop any time you want." "All right, I need to go. Text me later to let me know you're okay." The sidewalk was a sea of umbrellas. I made my way to the curb and shot my hand up, prepared to wait 20 minutes for one of San Francisco's limited number of cabs. A driver immediately flashed his headlights and pulled over. I gave him the address. I opened the fogged window and looked up at the starless, heavy sky. The pavement shone with moisture as we ascended Divisadero Street, the long hill that separates the eastern and western halves of the city. As the rooftops swished by, I mentally retraced my steps, taking one last chance to reconsider.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?